Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word to us. We pray that as we spend time in these verses, these precious verses, that you would encourage us, that you would, by your word, equip us to stand firm for Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. So we've been working through 2 Thessalonians as this letter, and we've been reading about the Thessalonians, the way that they've been experiencing pressure, opposition, persecution, things that would cause them to potentially give up on Jesus. And the obvious thing that Paul's kind of been saying to them throughout the chapters that we've looked at so far is to stick with Jesus. Not quite as overtly as we have in our passage today, but he's been telling them to stick with Jesus. And so far, he's told them that they can stand firm with Jesus because even though there's opposition, they've been reminded that Jesus will return in power to judge, to be bringing victory. But how do they and how do we stick with Jesus? What's the trick to sticking with Jesus? What's the silver bullet to standing firm? Sometimes you see the trick of sticking with Jesus is potentially following some rules. You know, if you just do this, you just do that, then you'll be all right. You'll stick with Jesus. Make sure you're regular at church. Don't be materialistic. Do your quiet time. Read the Bible with the kids. If we do all these things, then we'll make sure that we're sticking with Jesus. Now, these are good things. Don't hear me saying this are bad things to do. These are really good things to do. But are they the silver bullet to sticking with Jesus? How about when we do those things or fail to do those things when things get tough? If we struggle to do those things, does that mean our faith with Jesus, our salvation is shaky? Now, I think those things are really good things to do, but there's actually a much more simple and secure truth that helps us stick with Jesus. And that's what Paul speaks of in our passage today. The Thessalonians had it hard, didn't they? And so what was Paul's word to them? Well, the first thing he does is give thanks to God. Because the main thing that helps us stick with Jesus is God's work in them and in us as well. So let's have a look there at God's work in them and in us. The first thing that Paul does in this section is to thank God for the work that he's done in the Thessalonians. But the verse 13, it starts with a but, which kind of gets us to think back to the previous section, doesn't it? And Paul is seeking to contrast the Thessalonians, as he's going to describe them, verse 13 through to 17, with those he spoke about at the start of chapter 2. Those who, verse 10, refuse to love the truth, and verse 12, delight in wickedness. The ones who Paul is contrasting them with are those who are opposed to God, who will face his judgment when Jesus returns. And so compare those people with how Paul talks about the Thessalonians. Verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a complete contrast with the previous section, isn't it? The Thessalonians are not those who will face the judgment of God. They are those loved by God. And God's love is seen in his actions to them, choosing to save them. What an assurance for them. They are loved by God, chosen by him to be his people. It's not something they need to work towards. This is all a work of God. Now, just a note, the older version of the NIV, which we had read, says that God chose them from the beginning. There's a translation option noted in your footnotes. If you've got a newer NIV, you'll read that it says that God chose them as first fruits. Now, I think whichever you go for, it doesn't actually change the idea of the passage. So just to kind of clear this up for us, God chose his people from the beginning. If we go with that one, we know that's true from other places in the scriptures, like Ephesians 1. And the Thessalonians he is writing to are the first fruits. They're the first in Thessalonica to become Christian. So whichever translation you go for, the key point that Paul is making for them is that God has chosen to save them. And Paul puts it like this in Romans. He says a similar thing in Romans 5 from verse 6. You see, just at the right time, When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Though they were sinners, Christ singles them out to save them. Not because he saw some potential in them, or because they weren't as bad as the people around them, perhaps, but purely because of his unconditional love for them. And this unconditional salvation that God lavishes on those he loves is the basis of what helps people stick with Jesus. You see, this is why we can have, for those who trust in Jesus, this is why we have security and assurance. It's not because we do anything, it's because we are chosen by God. And he chooses us apart from anything we do. So there's nothing that we can do that will stop him from loving us, that will stop him from holding on to us, because he loved us and saved us while we were sinners, when we were at our worst. It's not that we stick with Jesus because we're so great at holding on, but rather it's that God holds on to us. When I walk across the street with one of my kids and they're holding on to my hand, the thing that brings them, that keeps them safe, that ensures their security, is not the fact that they're holding on to my hand, but that I'm holding on to theirs. And some of the kids more tightly than the other ones. And it's the same with us and God. As those loved and chosen by God, as those who put their trust in Jesus, we are held by him. And we know that he won't let us go. So how do we stick with Jesus? Well, part of the answer is that God is the one who holds on to us. He loves us and saved us while we were still sinners. And so we know that he's not going to let us go. Which is an encouragement, isn't it? And it's a real security. God will not let us go regardless of any oppositions or pressures that we face. You might be having a hard season at the moment. Know that God loves you. He holds on to you. He's not going anywhere. In this section, we also get a bit of a description about how salvation works, the kind of mechanics. We read here that God chooses his people. We talk about that as the doctrine of election. God elects, that is, he chooses those who he will save. And he chooses people before creation. So his choice is not based on anything we do. And then we see in the passage how God acts to bring about that salvation. There's the work of the Spirit, on one hand, the Spirit that sanctifies, that is, makes people holy. And then there's the work of humanity. The people they believe in the truth. They have faith and put their trust in God. And so we see God at work and we need to respond. And the way that works is that the Spirit works in those whom God has chosen and regenerates their hearts, brings their hearts to life and opens their eyes so that when they see and hear the truth of the gospel, they believe. That is, they put their trust in Jesus. And as they put their trust in Jesus, they receive the benefits of his death. Sins dealt with, forgiveness assured, a relationship with God. And so the first point in how to stick with Jesus is to recognize, I think, that God is the one who works in us first. We thank him for his work in us first. God is the one who works in us to save us, to transform us, to bring us to glory with Christ. And he's done this apart from anything we do, so we can be assured that God will hold on to us. But that's not to say that we're completely passive. In verse 13, we respond to God's choice by believing, that is, putting our trust in Jesus. And in verse 15, Paul tells the Thessalonians to stand firm in the gospel. The call for them to stand firm with Jesus follows on from the fact that God is the one who has saved them. And so the logic of this section, of course, is that the Thessalonians know that God has saved them, that they are secure in his salvation, and so that actually encourages and enables them to stand firm in Christ. And so they should stick with Jesus because they know how it will go. They are saved and they will stand with Jesus in glory when he returns. And so what does standing firm look like? Verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or by mouth or by letter. They're to stand firm in Jesus. That is to not move from Jesus. They're to keep living with Jesus as their Savior and King, following him as his disciples no matter what comes. Like that picture that's on the front of the Growth Group booklets, or it's on the foyer screen, that lighthouse, immovable in the midst of those humongous waves crashing into it. We are to stand firm on Christ, knowing that God is holding us there as well. And part of standing firm in Christ is to hold on to the teachings that were passed on to them. This is, of course, what Paul's referring to as the teachings of Paul, the apostolic teaching, the authoritative teaching that the disciples gave, the apostles gave to the early church. The words of the apostles and those in that early church that people recognized were the word of God. It's what we read in 1 Thessalonians. They heard Paul and they recognized that these were the words of God. The apostles' words that were recognized as God's words were preserved and came to be collected as our scriptures that we have today. The Thessalonians and we too are to hold on to the teachings that we have already received. The way they stick with Jesus is sticking with the core truths of the gospel. That's what we need to do too. Hold on to the truth that was passed on to us. Hold firm to the scriptures, to our Bibles. And we hold especially tightly to those core truths of the scripture. The core truths which we talk about as the gospel. The truth about Jesus and what he's done for us that saves people. The truth of the gospel that has eternal life or death importance. That's what we're to hold fast to. And I'd like to take a moment to say that sometimes holding on to those core things, the gospel stuff, can seem like we're just sticking with the same old thing that we've been taught 100 times, and we're kind of the same message over and over again. It can, may even seem a little boring, that same meal over and over again. And so, when we see the new and different thing that's exciting, we kind of get attracted by it. But there can be danger in chasing novel teaching. Consider the context of 2 Thessalonians, false teaching that was creeping into the Thessalonian church, false teaching that had messed about with people's faith, caused them to doubt what God had done. And there are, of course, other examples of this throughout the New Testament, where fringe or less important things are kind of creeping in to the church. They're causing issues. And what's Paul and the other writers' constant refrain in these things? Stick with the core truths, the things that we taught you. Don't be led astray by teachings that are obscure, even if they're novel and exciting. I think those Christians who have been Christians for a long time, we can struggle with the danger of that. We get interested and excited by the new thing, the creative take on some old truth, the focus on some detail that promises to unlock new understandings. But sometimes chasing these things could not only be a waste of time, but a danger, because it causes us to lose sight of the core. We need to cling to the gospel, not get lost with fancy new teachings. We need to stick with the same old gospel because the gospel is the truth that saves. And so, sticking with the gospel, holding firm to Christ as God holds on to us, we hold fast to the truth. But not only that, we live out our lives as disciples of Christ. And as we've seen before, God strengthens us to live for him. We're strengthened to live for God. Standing firm in Jesus is not simply a static thing. As we saw previously in a couple weeks ago, standing firm is not just about holding position, but it's about continuing to move forward in godliness, in living as God would have us live, in doing the good deeds that God has prepared for us to do. And God also helps us in that. He strengthens us to live for him. Paul shows us in this passage that it's God who chooses his people, it's God who holds on to them, and it's God who encourages and strengthens them to live for him. And so that's why he ends this section by praying. Verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word. A couple things to notice from these verses. First, the hope that we have as those who follow Christ. We have an eternal encouragement and good hope. That is, those who follow Jesus have that future. Paul's pointing out that future that we have to look forward to in Christ. A hope of eternal blessing with God. Of real hope. A real blessing, a real peace, a real forgiveness, real happiness. Not like the false promises that the world offers us. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where, you know, you put in something that you think is going to improve your life and then you get disappointed when it doesn't quite work out. You make some change, think, you know what, it's going to mean that life is so much better, so much simpler, it's going to be great. But so often life's not all that dramatically improved. My youngest child is about to go to school next year and I'm thinking, man, this is the year, 2025. Well, I suspect it's not going to be the thing that I hope it to be. And I don't think this is a problem with the change that you've implemented or the thing that's happened, but rather our disappointment has to do with our expectations about the changes. We hope that, you know, these changes we do will bring real hope, real improvement. But it's mediocre at best. And that's because the hope this world offers is mediocre at best. Real hope comes from the gospel. From the eternal and high hopes that God gives us in Jesus. And in God's kindness, he lets us know what's coming. We know the truth of the gospel. We know the hope that he has called us to. The gospel and the blessings that he pours on us in Christ. And this gives us real hope in a way that the world can never do. We have real hope in the gospel. Second, we stand firm in Christ and we live for him in God's strength. God encourages our hearts, we read. That is, he gives us an internal motivation and a commitment to live for him, transforming our hearts by the Spirit as we spend time in his word. If you struggle to love the things that God loves or feel discouraged in your efforts to do the things that you should be doing, then turn to the one who encourages our hearts. Pray that God would give you the desires and motivations that you long for. And not only will God work in our hearts to give us the motivations, he also strengthens us to carry out the deeds that he's prepared for us to do. Like a parent steadying the child's arm as they prepare to swing the bat, strengthening their desire for that good shot. So as we stand firm in Christ and seek to move forward in living for him, we pray. We ask for God's encouragement. We ask for his strength, that we would live as God would have us. To conclude, what is the secret to sticking with Jesus? Well, I think it's the silver bullet of the gospel. I think the trick of sticking with Jesus is the gospel. To quote Craig in a talk he did a few years ago, the silver bullet is the gospel. The good old gospel, the core message of the Bible. And we see the gospel throughout our passage today, don't we? Paul reminds the Thessalonians of the gospel in verse 13 and 14 as he spells out the kind of practical impact of the gospel that's happened in their lives. He tells them, you know, about how God has chosen to save them and will bring them to glory in Christ. He then tells them to hold on to the gospel as they stand firm in Christ. And he ends by reminding them of the gospel hope they have and the fact that God is the one who works in them to live out that gospel hope. The thing that keeps us with Jesus is the gospel. The practical fact of it and the way that God has worked in us by his Spirit to trust Jesus and be saved. And being reminded of the gospel as the central truth that we cling to helps us to never stray from Jesus. And so keep our foundation on him, because he is the one who has the words of eternal life. And we ask God to work in us to keep us committed to this gospel hope and strengthen us to live gospel lives. And so what are the things that help us stick with Jesus? It's all the things that help us remember what God has done for us in Christ. All the things that help us hold on to and focus on and treasure the core truths of the scripture, that is the gospel. It's why we so often talk about the importance of reading our Bibles and prayer. It may not be glamorous or creative, but it is the central thing. It's the bread and butter of the Christian life. It's the staples. And sometimes we can get bored of the staples. We can crave the interesting and exciting takeaway like Macca's. But Macca's is not as good for us as the staples. And if you have Macca's too much, guess what you crave? The staples. It's the staple diet that will strengthen us, sustain us, help us grow. Spending time in the Bible is the way that we are nourished by our Heavenly Father. A key way that God helps us to stick with Christ is to remind us what he has done for us in the scriptures. So we spend time learning the gospel, reflecting on the gospel, treasuring the gospel. And as we do so, we see again and again that it is God who has acted to save us, to hold on to us, who causes us to stick to Christ. And as those chosen by God, we stand firm in the gospel and we pray that he would strengthen us to live lives for him. So let's pray that now. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen us in Christ to save us and to bring us with Christ into his glory. Please help us to bask in this wonderful truth. Help us to stand firm in Christ and to seek your help in living for him. Amen.